Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Cooking in Real Time podcast. I'm Zora O'Neill, and thanks for bearing with me over my little vacation. I was away in Syria, which is a country that is filled with delicious food, and it is in part the reason I'm cooking what I'm cooking tonight, although what we're cooking is not strictly Syrian, although it is vaguely Middle Eastern. It is a little bulgur pilaf with dates and cinnamon and some feta cheese. It happens to be vegetarian. You can make it meaty if you want to. It's a very easy thing, and I'm cooking it now because it's just getting to be that time where it's unpleasantly hot in the kitchen, and this really requires your stove to be on for only about 20-25 minutes, which is kind of nice. So we're doing the bulgur pilaf with dates and cinnamon and feta cheese. And we're also going to be doing some dilly green beans, just some really quick pickled green beans on the side. And I'm also going to cut up some strawberries for dessert because it's just the tail end of the strawberry season. We want to make the most of those. So the first thing we're going to do is, as ever, slice up an onion, just one medium onion for the pilaf. And basically the idea of pilaf, it's most commonly with rice, but it can be with lots of other kinds of grains. But the idea is rice or grains cooked with spices, other flavors. Sometimes you use meat stock, sometimes you use water. It's a very versatile thing to know how to cook, sort of the core concept of it, and then you can add various ingredients as you see fit. I like bulgur because it's very quick cooking. It cooks a little bit more quickly than rice does, and it has a nice light texture, which is good when the weather starts getting hot, and it just is overall a little bit more interesting to me than rice. Although I have to admit, I got this recipe, or the essential idea of the recipe. My onion is all sliced up. I'm just getting my pan here. I got the idea of the recipe from Moosewood Cookbook a long time ago, where it was a regular rice pilaf recipe. And I subbed in the bulgur. All right, I've got sort of a heavy saucepan on the flame on medium high. I'm just gonna put some butter in there. Only got about a teaspoon of butter. What a terrible oversight. I think I bought more, but in the interest of speed, I will just add a little bit more olive oil. You can use all butter or all olive oil, depending on what you have. I'm just putting another maybe tablespoon of olive oil in there. Swirling that around. And I'm just gonna go ahead and put my onions straight in. I want them just to get kind of soft and translucent, so it's not too crucial what the temperature of the pan is to start with. But when you're choosing an onion, I would choose a smaller onion. I'm making maybe about 4 servings of this. It depends how hungry everybody is, but it's good to have as leftovers because it's good kind of at room temperature. You don't have to heat it way up or anything, and it packs well for lunch. So I've got those onions sizzling. And now I'm gonna chop up some dates. We got these big, sort of juicy, I think they're medjool dates. Pretty sure. You do want the biggest, chewiest looking dates you can get your hands on. And I just sort of pull them apart by hand and pull out the pits. It's too finicky to get in there with a paring knife, but you can just tear them open. I've got about 5 big-ish dates here, and I'm just gonna chop them into relatively small pieces. I'm just slicing across and then down the middle. Just think about when you're wondering how big to slice these, just think about how big a piece of date you would like to bite into. I don't like mine too big because it kind of can dominate a whole bite of food too much because they're pretty sweet. This combination of flavors is very, cooking with dates, adding a little sweetness to things is a very way east edge of the Middle Eastern kind of technique. And it's especially good, this happens to be a vegetarian thing, but it is an especially good combination with meat. That's me testing the dates. I've got about, I don't know, a third to half a cup of chopped up dates there. I think that's, oh, I'll do one more. So 6 big dates. Can't hurt. So yeah, this is a vegetarian thing, but you could easily add meat if you wanted to. Probably the easiest way to do it would be to add some ground lamb right now with the onions. So you can do that if you're feeling like it, or you could fry up some little lamb cubes separately and toss them into the pilaf. This is the whole nice thing about the versatility. Okay, you can hear my onions are starting to sizzle a little bit, and I'm just gonna go ahead and throw the dates in there with the onions and give everything a good stir. Get it all covered with oil. You can hear that sizzling nicely. I'm gonna put in a pretty big pinch of salt. You don't want this too salty because the feta cheese is gonna be pretty salty, so be maybe slightly more judicious with the salt than you would otherwise be. So salt, and the other things I'm gonna add are cinnamon and allspice if I happen to have some ground up, or you can just use cinnamon. Cinnamon and allspice is a nice combination. Where did all my, thought I had some ground cinnamon, and I'm not seeing it. So what I'm gonna do is just grab some cinnamon sticks. Okay, no. We do have some. Great. I got my spices spread out in too many places. So I do have some ground cinnamon, but what the heck, I pulled out the cinnamon stick as well. A great way to deal with spices is if you throw the whole ones in with the hot oil while you're browning your onions or whatever. That really releases a lot of the flavor. So since I have a stick out, I'm gonna throw in a couple, like 1.5 of those, and stir that up. And this is another way, if you've got some ground spices and you're not sure how old they are, but you're kind of too lazy like I am to get out the spice grinder right now, you can use the ground spice and then sort of boost it with a little bit of the whole spice as well. Basically just use whatever you have. There's really no reason to go running out to get one or the other. And now I'm shaking in kind of a big pinch of ground cinnamon in with the onions. And I have some ground allspice here. That allspice can be pretty powerful, and if you're not used to the flavor or used to cooking with it, I would go really easy. I'm putting in a pretty small pinch. Having just gotten back from Syria, where they put allspice in tons of things, I am kind of enthusiastic about it, but I don't want it to dominate this thing too much. So I'm stirring everything up, and then my onions are getting all kind of nice and translucent. I'm gonna turn the heat down to medium. My dates are kind of sticky. It's all looking good. I think I have some whole allspice too. I'm gonna throw those in too, because I ground up the allspice myself, but I can't remember how long ago, so I'm not sure how fresh it is. So I'm gonna throw in about 5 whole allspice berries as well. And I'll put these things away. All right, next thing we need is the bulgur. The onions are looking nice, pretty close to the point where we can move on. They're nice and soft. Bulgur is dried cracked wheat. Well, I should say it's dried wheat that is then cracked. And it has this nice irregular sort of crunchy thing going on. And it comes in 3 grinds. You'll see it labeled bulgur number 1, number 2, and number 3. Number 1 is the finest grind. I think the smallest number is also the smallest grain or the smallest size. So number 1 is fine, number 2 is sort of medium, and number 3 is pretty big and chewy. I like number 3 for this. I just don't happen to have any. Number 2 is, if you're not sure, if you don't want to invest in all kinds, number 2 is probably the most versatile. So I've measured that out. I have about, I'm using up the rest of a bag, and it's almost 1.5 cups. And I'm just pouring that in with the onions and stirring. It's a little dry. I mean, there's no liquid in there, obviously. I'm gonna drizzle on a teeny bit more oil because one of the ideals of pilaf whether you're using rice or some other grain, is you kind of want each grain to be distinct and individually fluffy, not all glommed together and starchy, basically. And one way to do that is to coat everything gently with a little bit of oil before adding the liquid. So I've kind of stirred that just to coat. If I were doing this with rice, I would stir it and cook it a little bit more just to get the rice started cooking, and the rice would start turning a little opaque. Now I'm just going to add water. And for bulgur, when you're cooking it on the stove like this, you want about 1.5 times the amount of water. So I did 1.5 cups of bulgur almost. So that would be about 2.25 cups of water. 1.5 cups bulgur to 2.25 cups water. All right, that is in. It's looking a little bit like some dismal soupy gruel, but trust me, it'll be very tasty. All right, I have the heat turned down pretty low while I look for the lid. Here we go. And you want to treat it just like rice, bring it up to a boil and then turn it way down to a simmer. So I put the lid on and mental note to check on it in about 20 seconds to turn it back down. Meanwhile, I'm gonna prep my little green beans. A little bit of a nuisance, but it is worth it. These green beans are a great thing to know how to make. They are just so good and summery and refreshing. And pretty soon, we're very early in the season for good green beans, but pretty soon you will have a humongous bumper crop of them. So this is a good thing to know how to do, because you can make them and then they can sit around in the fridge for a few days and still be, well, actually even tastier than when you first make them. You just check on the, all right. Turning the water down on my bulgur. I've got that down to almost the lowest setting. Just giving my little beans a rinse. And actually, while I'm doing that, I'm gonna put some water on to boil. Just grabbing my big pasta pot. You don't have to fill it super full. Just want enough to cover all the beans. So, oh, hello. Putting that on the burner, the water on the burner on high, shaking a good amount of salt into the water. So that's getting ready to boil while I wash the beans and trim them. So, just want to snap the little ends off to do anything more complicated. This is a tedious thing, but it does make you touch each bean and you can check and see if each one has any kind of gross squishy spots or moldy spots or whatever. It's a good little quality control process, even if it takes slightly more time than you might want. Every so often I aspire to make these beans and actually pan them and keep them for use later in the fall after the major bean season, but frankly, the concept of trimming all the green beans always deters me, so it's better to deal with them in slightly smaller batches. I'm just snapping off the little stem end on each one, and then I'm snapping off the other end as well if it looks like it's kind of squishy. But if they're nice and crispy all over, then no problem. These beans, actually, to give credit where credit is due, I believe these beans I also first learned to cook from the Moosewood Cookbook. It's actually the Moosewood Cookbook Cooks at Home, and it's a cookbook I happen to have, or a roommate happened to have, 11, 12 years ago or so, when I lived in Cairo. In that year, I was kind of a de facto vegetarian, mostly because I didn't know the Arabic words for various cuts of meat, and it was just too complicated to go to the butcher and explain things. And then my roommate happened to be vegetarian, and she had this cookbook, and there was so much good stuff in it. And the produce in Egypt was great, so it was pretty inspiring. And these beans, ate them quite a lot. They're pretty easy, and once you get into this way of preparing vegetables, you can actually use it for a lot of different things. The quick pickling, which basically you just make a little hot broth of vinegar and, in this case, garlic and a little red chili pepper. And we're going to use some fresh dill. Basically, just heat that up and pour it over the beans, and the heat from the hot vinegar cooks them a little bit and makes the flavor kind of seep into them. And then when they cool off a little, they're very refreshing. So I've got my beans all snapped. And what else? I'm gonna rinse my herbs. I have a bunch of parsley to go with the pilaf, and I have a big bunch of dill to go with the beans. And I'm snapping off the ends of the bunch of herb and then tossing the remainder in my salad spinner. Occasionally, I'll just grab off a few leaves and use them, but in general, it's nicer to have your herbs all washed and ready, even if you're not going to use them right away. Parsley holds up pretty well. Dill is a little more delicate, and you want to make sure it's good and dry when it goes back in the fridge, if you've washed it. Give those guys a rinse. Truth be told, I forgot to notice what time the pilaf really started cooking. I think bulgur, it usually takes about 15 or 20 minutes. It's not long. You'll also see bulgur recipes where they call just for pouring boiling water on the bulgur and letting it sit, and that works too. It usually just takes a little bit longer for the bulgur to get tender. In this way, cooking it over the stove, you're making sure sort of all the spices and everything, all that flavor gets into the bulgur in a way that wouldn't happen if you just let it all sit in hot water. So my herbs are all done. Let's see, still waiting for my bean stuff to boil. I'll make the vinegar mix. And let's see, I want a couple things of garlic. Oh, my garlic, it's looking a little sad these days. All right, a couple things of garlic. It's up to you whether, if you want the garlic distributed throughout and you want it sort of in each bite you take, then feel free to chop it up really fine or squeeze it through a garlic press. I think I'm just going to mash mine up with the side of the knife because that is the quickest thing. And then if some of the pieces get into my bites, that's fine. Oh, my knife is still covered with date. Not the best flavor combination. Or maybe it would be some magical discovery, but I am gonna wash off my knife because it was very sticky. Whew, that's me mashing up the garlic with the side of my knife and just give it a few rough chops, each clove. Usually I use that smashing with the side of the knife technique to get the peel off as well, but these were sort of older cloves of garlic and the peels were slipping right off, so I took them off first. My garlic, and I'm just going to put that in a little bowl next to the stove. And what else is going to go in there? Just some crushed red pepper. Just the regular sort of Italian style chili flake is fine. If you have some other interesting red pepper you'd like to use, this is a great place to use it. I went in kind of a big pinch because I like the heat. And the main dish, the pilaf, is not spicy at all, really. So it's nice to have a little bit of controlled burn on the side, so to speak. I should have used Aleppo pepper, which I just brought back with me, but it's okay. It'll get plenty of other chances. And what else? I want some vinegar. You want kind of a mild vinegar for this, I would say. Looking to see if I have cider vinegar. I hope so. Ah, I do. I do indeed. Yeah, cider vinegar is kind of ideal because it's pretty mild and a little bit fruity. You could use a wine vinegar as well, in which case I would cut it with a little bit of water just to mellow it out, maybe add a little bit more sugar. So I'm putting all these, the garlic and the red pepper flakes, I'm tossing in a small saucepan, a stainless saucepan. You want something that's not going to react with the vinegar. And I'm putting in I've got the measuring cup right here. I guess I could use it. I'm putting in like a third of a cup or so of vinegar. And I'm going to put in a big pinch of salt and honey. You could use sugar as well. I just happened to buy some nice honey, so I kind of want to crack that open and taste it anyway. Bought some orange blossom honey. Go really light on the sugar or honey. I'm just putting in maybe like half a teaspoon max. It's kind of easy to get the whole thing a little carried away. But the sweetness kind of helps take the edge off, a little bit of the edge off the vinegar. I'm turning that all on high just to let it all simmer together. And my bean water has just started boiling. So I'm gonna throw the beans in. Just throw the beans in. And they really should only be in there for less than a minute. You just wanna give them a tiny head start on cooking. And the next step is gonna be chopping up my dill so that's ready when I take the beans out. So I'm taking a very generous amount of dill, like a very big handful, and chopping that up. I really like fresh dill, but I always keep a little dry dill on hand in case I don't have any fresh and I do want that flavor so I don't have to run out. It's almost always nicer to use fresh herbs, of course, but I do not agree with all those cookbooks that are very draconian and turn their noses up at dried herbs, because dried herbs definitely have their place, especially dried mint adds a totally different flavor than fresh mint that is often more desirable. I'm going to grab a little bit more dill because I have it. Chop that up. If you only have dried dill, this is actually a pretty good outlet for it. Since you're dealing with hot liquids, that's going to help rehydrate the herb and bring out its flavor. If you had only dried dill, I would throw it in with the boiling vinegar garlic mix. And like I said, that would help kind of rehydrate it and spread the dill flavor around. I think my beans are done. They've just turned bright green, which is good. So that's good. I'm pouring the hot beans right on top of my chopped up dill in a big, big bowl. And I'm turning off my boiling vinegar garlic mix. And I'm pouring those right over the hot beans, making sure to scrape all the garlic out. Don't want any of that to go to waste. Ooh, I do not recommend using your bare hands, however. I recommend a spoon. Okay, then you just give that a big old stir. Make sure all the beans get coated in nice vinegary liquid. And you could also put a big grind of black pepper on here. Though, in a way, you kind of want just the heat from the red pepper and not so much from the black pepper. You want too much competition, so up to you. And now I'm just gonna set those aside. And tidy all that stuff up a little bit. Actually, I'm just gonna put my little salad spinner with the herbs straight in the fridge. Oh, except I can't do that, because I need to grab some parsley for the pilaf. So I'm taking a handful out of there. I'm gonna throw a paper towel in the top to keep those guys dry. Okay, let me check on the pilaf. We're probably pretty close. That's good. I'm gonna turn that off, actually, because it seems to already be dried out on the bottom and sticking to the pan a teeny bit. I'm gonna turn that off. I'm actually gonna take a spoon and fluff it up a little bit. It's still a little damp overall and could stand to have some of the steam evaporate off. So I've left the lid off. Steam is dispersing. That is pretty much good to go, and we just need the garnishes for it. One of those are going to be some pine nuts. If you don't have pine nuts on hand, almonds are also super delicious, maybe even preferable. But if you're using almonds, you want to chop them up first, just a little bit coarsely, and frankly, I'm feeling a little too lazy to do that. Pine nuts are nice because they're already bite size. So I've just put a cast iron skillet on my front burner and put it on high, and I'm throwing a big handful of pine nuts in there, plus couple other for good measure. I usually keep my nuts in the freezer because it keeps the oils from going rancid and makes them last a little bit longer. Especially if you live in a warm climate, your nuts can get tasting pretty old and stale really quickly, but if you keep them in the freezer, they're fine. I'm using this opportunity to tidy up a little. Oh, and chop up my parsley, that's right. I'm just picking off the leaves of my parsley pretty quickly. Don't have to be too picky. You just don't want big, giant, tough stems in your bites, but otherwise. And honestly, parsley is here for color. I mean, I like parsley, but I think we can all agree it is not the most overwhelming and fantastically flavorful of the herbs. So if you find there's another one you like better, feel free to use it. Mint would be nice also. I happen to have parsley. Parsley is nice to have around because it does add a little vegetal flavor to a lot of things, and it lasts for the flatleaf kind. Actually, the curly kind probably lasts even longer, but they both last pretty long in the fridge. Of all the herbs, they're probably right up there with mint being the least delicate, so good to have around. They can make a meal go from very prefab feeling to at least vaguely fresh. And I'm just gonna chop those parsley leaves up pretty coarsely, so they're ready to go. I'm gonna check on my nuts. Give them a little, that's good, they were just starting to color. Shaking them around in the pan. Again, there's no oil. You don't really need it. I know a lot of Middle Eastern recipes especially call for browning the nuts in oil or butter, which, I mean, they do taste better. I'm not arguing the premise at all, but for a little weeknight thing, it's much easier to clean up a dry skillet than one that's a little bit greasy. Okay, they're looking good. Take those off and put them in a little bowl. Whenever you toast nuts like that, you don't want to leave them in the pan because they'll continue to brown, and then before you know it, be much browner than you ever wanted them to be. So we basically have everything in place except the feta cheese, and that I'm just gonna put on as a big block on the side. Doesn't even really need to be mixed in. And I am gonna quick prepare my strawberries so that when I'm done with the main stuff, they'll be ready for dessert. And I'm grabbing 6 of my nicest looking strawberries. And all I'm gonna do to them is slice them up, take off their little green stems, and I'm just gonna slice them up and leave them in a bowl with a teeny bit of sugar and some vinegar. And just that tiny bit is enough to kind of get their juices flowing, and it makes this really light little syrup around them. So they're juicier, a teeny bit sweeter, just overall a more interesting strawberry to eat. And it's kind of a good trick to pull when they're not seeming like the world's greatest strawberries, as unfortunately most strawberries are these days, at least in the US. I would tell you about the delicious ones I ate in Syria, but it would only make you depressed, so I'll restrain myself. They were terrible. You didn't miss anything. When you're dealing with strawberries, you don't want to rinse them until right before you use them because they're prone to getting moldy really quickly if there's any moisture on them. So resist the urge to clean them up as soon as you get them back from the store. Just stick them in the fridge and hope for the best. Sugar, tiny bit, just about maybe half a teaspoon for these 6 strawberries. Maybe not even that. Just want a very light dusting of sugar all over them. And then here, I would use balsamic vinegar because it has a real natural sweetness to it. But I did happen to get this crazy Greek stuff today called oxymeli, which is some sort of wine, honey, fig extract vinegar. So I'm going to use that. Although you certainly don't have to go chasing down this obscure Greek ingredient, seeing how it's the first time I've even seen it and I've lived in a Greek neighborhood for 10 years. So we'll see how that goes. I'm putting in about a teaspoon of vinegar. Balsamic works just fine. You could also use lemon juice. I would not use a regular wine vinegar, again, because I think it's just a little too sharp. But lemon juice or balsamic is good. I'm just tossing to coat these guys. Actually, I'm gonna add a drizzle bit more vinegar. There should be like the tiniest bit of visible liquid in the bottom of the bowl. Any more and you're gonna have way too intense vinegar flavor. So, I think we're very close to done here. I'm just gonna serve things up. Get a little plate out. Get out my feta cheese. You don't necessarily have to use feta if you're not a big fan. Feta can be pretty intensely salty. You know, some people don't like it because of that. I love it, but you could use feta, or you can also use goat cheese, like a nice creamy goat cheese. It's a totally different flavor sensation, but it goes really nicely with the fruit and nuts in the bulgur. So now my top layer, I'm sort of fluffing up the bulgur a little, again, to let out some of the steam and to keep it all from clumping together. That, and scatter on some pine nuts. This is what makes it such a great vegetarian meal, is the nuts and the cheese and the fruit. I'm sprinkling on some parsley and then just laying a little bit of feta cheese there on the side. We're good to go there, and I'll put some green beans on the side of the plate. You kind of want to scoop those out so you don't have too much of the vinegar, so it doesn't seep all over everything on the plate. Yum. Ooh, those are tasty. Yeah, like I said, the green beans are great because they can hang out in your fridge for a few days and they just keep getting more powerful. Okay, I think we're done. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your meal, and please feel free to get in touch if you have any requests for something you'd like me to cook. I'm happy to do it. You can email me at zora@cookinginrealtime.com, and of course visit the website for all the recipes today and photos, and talk to you next week. Enjoy your meal.